This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. News this week that Intel, the giant leading-edge American computer chip maker, will invest $1 billion in India. That Ford Motor Company, on the heels of GM's 30,000 job cuts, may close 4 North American plants. Brace yourself for more of the same, says my guest today. Jobs and dollars chasing not just low wages, but more importantly, chasing skilled labor. America is not producing enough well-educated, technically educated young people to power its own economy just 5 years from now. China and India are going to need their own, and the whole American powerhouse, comes the warning, risks tumbling down. Up next on Point, 2010 meltdown and warning signs for the U.S. economy. Joining me now from Chicago is Edward Gordon, founder of Imperial Consulting, a workforce and education consulting firm. He's worked with businesses on their growth strategies for a generation now. He's taught at DePaul, Loyola, and Northwestern universities and has written 15 books on job skills, the American workforce, and literacy. His new book is The Head Turning, The 2010 Meltdown, Solving the Impending Jobs Crisis. Edward Gordon, welcome to On Point.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you about a couple of the things that you outline here. First of all, you say millions, that is millions of Americans, will be left without jobs while tens of millions of jobs go unfilled. Explain.
Well, I'll give you an example. A year ago, the state of Pennsylvania talked about how there were 350,000 people in the state unemployed. And yet a third of the employers of the state stated that they could not come up with the high-skilled specialty people to fill jobs in our economy. What does that mean? It means that people who were well-educated for certain technologies and jobs, many of those technologies have gone away, and they need retraining in order to remain in the workforce. Some are getting it. American business is putting $50 billion a year into training its workers, but it's not enough. In fact, that number has declined since 2000.
You say companies will overpay for labor. Again, that sounds kind of good if you're on the labor side, and participate in global bidding wars. What's the dynamic there? What's the impact?
Well, the impact is that, you know, for 20 years, we've been offshoring high-skill jobs. You know, you talk about India. What about Germany? Advanced Micro Devices built $2-3 billion plants near Dresden because they couldn't recruit enough young entry-level workers here.
This is the American competitor to Intel, you could say.
Right, exactly. My point is, though, there's a finite number right now of these technical folks out there. We need more of them worldwide. I emphasize this to you. So sending low-skill jobs overseas, low-paid jobs overseas, is one factor. But when we start sending high-wage jobs overseas, high-skill jobs, you know, we have over 1 million jobs in Canada. We have over 1 million U.S. jobs in the United Kingdom right now, which sort of begs, with India's few hundred thousand and China's few hundred thousand. We need high-skill people. And as these venues are closed off to us because they have big demographic issues in Canada and Europe,
aging populations,
where are we going
their
to find
issues.
The people? Yep. Right, exactly.
I want to turn to Philadelphia for a moment. And Peter Capelli, he's professor of management at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. He's director of Wharton's Center for Human Resources, a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research, author of The New Deal at Work. Peter Capelli, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Edward Gordon is raising some big warning flags here, saying, look out a few years, the boomers begin to pull out, and we do not have enough skilled labor to fuel this economy. He's looking at 2010 meltdown between 2010 and 2025. Do you see it out there, Peter Capelli, or will the market somehow fix this?
No, I don't see it. I think several questions embedded in this. The first one is about people. Is there a shortage of workers overall, which is a story that's been told for a while, you know, that the baby boomers are retiring, there aren't going to be enough people to go around. There's nothing to that story. And if you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics projections for the U.S. economy, for the labor force, shows the labor force continues to grow actually at a slightly faster rate over the next 10 years, to about 2015, than it did even over the last 10 years or so. So, you know, is there a shortfall of people coming? That's certainly not the case. And if it was the case, anyway, you know, if it was the case that a slowdown in the population was going to cause labor market big problems, there would be massive labor shortages in Europe where population has been dropping for quite a while.
So you're saying in absolute numbers, not a problem. What about the skills side of the equation?
Not a problem there, right. And when you start looking at education levels, for example, of the echo of the baby boom, right, the children of the baby boom, college graduation rates and levels of education are higher for that cohort. I mean, higher for that cohort. And actually, the absolute number of college graduates out of the baby bust cohort, that's that cohort just behind the baby boom that was small, is actually higher than it was in the baby boom.
Do they have the skills that the economy needs?
Well, now that's an interesting question. And I think part of the problem there is that it's very difficult to predict what skills the economy will need. If you look, for example, at certain high-skilled occupations, chemicals, PhDs in chemistry and biology, those sorts of things, there is rampant unemployment among those folks. RAND study a few years ago pointed this out. If you look, for example, at the IT sector, when the economy started booming in IT, you know, in the late 1990s, students poured into those programs. And now, of course, they're struggling to find jobs because the economy in those sectors went down. So it's very difficult to predict what the, you know, economy is going to demand in terms of skills. I think the one point that is right is that companies are increasingly complaining about this, and I think the reason they're complaining about it is because companies are no longer training anybody. So it used to be that companies, particularly large corporations, would hire people in without skills and would provide the technical skills that the company needed. They're not doing that anymore, and so now they're looking on the outside, and they're trying, you know, in some ways externalize this, and I don't blame them for doing it. It's cheaper for them. That this is a problem for public policy, that the public sector or the economy or society more generally has to provide them for the skills with the skills that they need in their own organizations. And, you know, that's a tricky problem.
Peter Capelli, stand by. I want to hear you two work this out, if it can be worked out between you. Edward Gordon here is something like a point-by-point refutation. Peter Capelli says, no, we won't have a shrinking labor force in absolute terms. No, there's no reason to believe we'll have a skills shortage. He's just saying no, no, no.
Economists disagree.
He's an economist.
Lynn Caroli at the RAND Corporation, her book, The 21st Century at Work, Forces Shaping the Future Workforce in the United States, Kevin Hollenbeck at the Upjohn Institute, and other economists agree with me. So part of this is a matter of his interpretation and my interpretation. As a historical economist, as someone who has been involved in providing training to Fortune 500 companies across the U.S. and Canada, I just look at the data coming out, the reports being published by a variety of informed sources, and we just have a different interpretation. The problem here is this. If I am correct, and I do think I am, it will take time for the workforce boards, and by the way, I'm on the Chicago Workforce Board and work with workforce boards across the country. It'll take time to rejig our educational systems and our training systems to meet these challenges. And they will be uneven.
But Peter Capelli, let me come to you for another moment, if I may. There's a kind of native logic to what Edward Gordon is saying. I mean, here goes the baby boom. It's a boom. It's a bulge. There would seem to be a trough waiting on the other side of that. Why isn't there in the labor force? And secondly, we hear all these this wailing and moaning from those in the sciences saying we're not getting good enough training for young Americans on this front. How can both those be wrong? Illuminate a little more.
The first one is a question of fact. The best data on this is the U.S. government's estimates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And just a reminder, they say the population and particularly the expected labor force is not shrinking, not even declining its rate of growth, and won't for about another 10 or 15 years. And then it begins to tail off only trivially. The reason is because the echo of the baby boom, that is the children of the baby boomers, is a very big cohort.
And there's no trough in between? There's no 25-year trough?
There is a trough in between, but it's not that big a trough. The question really is, what do you think the problem is? The problem is that there's not going to be enough Now there aren't enough 40-year-old people to take the jobs of people who will be retiring in a few years. Well, the problem there with that argument is that companies, for the most part, have been trying to get rid of all their older workers. You know, they have all these early retirement programs,
right.
Early out programs. So if the companies are screaming about, oh my gosh, our retirees, older workers are going to be retiring, they're certainly not acting like it.
So when Craig Barrett, the chairman of Intel, says we're going to India with $1 billion, in part because we have a big complaint with the American education system, you're saying he's wrong? Why is he headed there? Is it just low wages?
He's going to India because you can get better quality people cheaper. It isn't that there aren't enough smart people in the U.S. You can get for your same dollar much cheaper people of the same quality in India. I mean, that's ultimately what this is about. It's all about money. You could take the raw talent here and train them up to a level at which you could get any kind of skill level you want. But the U.S., you know, U.S. employers, and I don't blame them, their job is to do things as cheaply as they can. It's cheaper to do it someplace else. Now, back to the question of why aren't we getting the talent in the sciences, the answer is very simple. It's because it doesn't pay very well. So, you know, if you had a choice, if you're a very smart student as an undergraduate now, and you have a choice, say, to go to business school or going to an engineering school, which one do you think pays better? Mm. So people are following where the labor market is.
I want to thank both of you for being with us this hour. Peter Capelli at the Wharton School, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Edward Gordon, founder of Imperial Consulting, author of the new book, The 2010 Meltdown, Solving the Impending Jobs Crisis. Mr. Gordon, thanks for being with us.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.